Welcome to Education Suspended, a podcast focused on exploring, engaging, and dialoguing with those in education who are passionate about changing the status quo and evolving the archaic system we have inherited. Hey everyone, welcome back to Education Suspended. This is our first reflective dissociation episode of season three. For those of you that have been listening for a while, you know that these episodes are a little bit different than the typical episode because we're not interviewing any guest. We're actually just taking a moment to reflect and absorb all the amazing stuff that we have learned in the last four episodes. So hopefully you enjoy this. There was so much to take in from the first four episodes of season three. There was so much to take in from these first four episodes, as always. And I really just enjoy the time that I get with Grainer to process it all over and to really try to think through ways that we can use that knowledge to continue to change our system. Okay, so I've also discovered that our amazing students at the Puget Sound Skill Center do all our editing this season. Not only are they very talented at editing, but they're also really, really amazing artists. And so it came to my attention through their teacher, Gina, at the Rainier Educators of Color Conference. The students were asked to create a way that could show how they see themselves in society, which, let's just say in general, that is a really cool prompt to give to students and say, dream big, use your creative juices, and let's see what you come up with. Anyway, two of her students wrote an amazing song. Their artist names are Ace and Flawless Kai. We're going to put their whole song at the end of this episode today, so please stick around after Steve and I wrap up and make sure that you give their music a listen, and the lyrics are just awesome. So now that I know that they're really good at what they do, we're going to use Education Suspended as a platform if they want it when they create music to play it at the end of some of the episodes. So just super grateful to be working with them and feel honored that they're going to share their stories with us through their creative arts, and to Gina for connecting the dots and letting us know that this is what they're doing. I hope you all are doing well. Appreciate all you who listen. Sit back, and I hope you enjoy our first reflective dissociation session.
Recording in progress. What the heck?
You say that every time we do this.
I don't say that every time.
You do, and I'm going to keep it in this time for everyone to hear. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Very good to see you.
I feel like it's been a long time.
I got to hear fun stories from Luke from your trip to Texas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love Austin. I'll tell you that. I got another pair of boots.
Well, you just keep going, kids. I'm happy to wave at you from the airport.
Well, let's get ready to reflect for season three, which is nuts that we're in season three. Well, and I guess even before we jump into reflecting on the first four episodes of season three, I also, you know, I think one thing that you and I always say is just how many doors this has opened. And so I did want to acknowledge, even though we've talked about it a little bit, but just the internship that we have with the Puget Sound Skill Center. And so the first four episodes thus far have been edited for sound by these high school kids. It's amazing. And they're getting high school credit, Grainer.
Oh, really?
To support our podcast.
That's really amazing.
It's really amazing. Yeah. And so their teacher's Gina Hansen. She's been so phenomenal helping us, but, you know, most importantly, helping those kids. The first three, and it sounds like they're going to kind of rotate students out to help them all get opportunities to do this. Wyatt was first intern on the team, crushing it. And then they're going to keep practicing it because these students want real world experience and in sound editing or in some form of editing with content like podcasts or music. So it's cool. I never thought when you and I started that we'd have a high school that would be getting high school credit to help us out.
No, I love the authenticity of it. Don't you? I mean, this
absolutely
is real world stuff.
Yep.
I'm blasting right into our reflection.
Oh, do it. Yeah, oh, I'll follow.
I mean, I don't even need to say that, but we're reflecting on what curriculum could look like. Active, engaging, shoulder to shoulder, side by side, real work being done, authentic stuff. That this is a perfect example of it.
Well, you're right. And so Justin was our first episode of season 3.
And that reminds me of Justin.
Yeah. I'm like, that was perfect. You know, he carried that theme for how we ended season 2, which was how, to your point, right? How do we use curriculum? How do we use education as an opportunity to open doors to experiences? And so, you know, really what hit me about not him just saying that, but was his own personal lived experience.
Yeah.
First in his family, right? So many open doors through education for him. So I was so grateful that he just brought it all full circle.
And I'm not remembering something super specific about talking to Justin, but when I walked away from it, I said, we have hope for education in this country.
Yeah.
Because of young, and I think we've interviewed a number of people that give me hope, but Justin was one that I just saw just the light that I needed to see, to say education is changing. It's very slow. It's a very hard ship to steer, but it is changing. And guys like Justin remind me of, because he's all about authentic assessment. He's about rigor. He's about, you know, it's not being soft. It's not giving anything away. It's all the things we want to see in a socially progressive system that we would love to see be reinvented, you know?
Absolutely. And even like his overt focus on not just celebrating the small successes of the kids, but more importantly, the successes of the adults. Like, you know, that was the title of the podcast for his episode, right? A banner year, like celebrating the work that we're doing, that our coworkers are doing, that those of us surrounding these students do, because we lose sight of that. And how it is now with the assessments the way they are, the curriculums the way it are, it can be very hard to lose sight of the small growth that we are impacting. And so I also really like that theme that came across that way.
Well, you talk about authentic then, chef too. Is anyone doing more authentic work? But there again, when he talked about the work he's doing with students and the work he does in prisons and the, you know, and it's all around authentic work around cooking and real skills. And I don't know, I just love that stuff.
Yeah. I do want to say, especially about these two in particular, the other thing that was interconnected that hit me about their stories was the obstacles that they had to overcome to get where they were at, right? Yeah. Like in all reality, the educational system was not built for those two to succeed. And yet they both pushed back and they both essentially called bullshit and said, no way. Yeah. Even Justin saying, you know, look at the work that I had to do to get a teaching degree compared to other people. That's not fair. That's not equitable. Right. And Chef too, talking about the access to something that's so basic as a food and how that impacted him as a student. So I think both of them, I loved their stories.
And now they've taken their stories and taken them forward for others to give agency to students, to adults, to all, you know, to the people they connect with. And the word of the day is authenticity. It's just real world stuff.
Yeah.
It's not sitting around. It's very active.
It's not just active, but they're pushing for, I guess it is, it's active engagement, right? Of like specific goal-oriented progress. And I think I said it in the episode with Chef too, but I mean, I go back and I reflect on my own experience and I remember you talking about your experience with your kids, right? And qualifying for support and you saying that you had a negative lens on that. And for me, like I wasn't there. That's not my story. And so when that's not your story, it's very easy to take for granted how hard it is to access that.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the resistance to feeding children.
How could
I don't get it, but it exists.
And yet in both cases, neither of them are crying foul. I mean, they're being real. They're real, you know, and honest. But their actions speak so much louder than any words ever could. And I was inspired so much by both of those stories, because it was, again, agency. We're taking control here.
Yep.
We're going to work our way through, but never alone, always in concert with others. And I appreciated that too. I love the story of Chef Tuitt working with his good friend at the high school. And that's what I would want my kids to do. I would want them to be in that setting. That's what will save a lot of kids who do not feel attached, do not feel connected. You go to school and you do authentic work with others, you have a shot.
And authentic work, I mean, maybe it's not always the case, but I think in my opinion, if you're honed in on true authentic work, Grainer, the likelihood that work is going to, again, open doors, lead to true acquisition of knowledge and understanding goes up. When that's the theme, the kids are going to be okay. But when we continue to teach these tests, what word am I looking for? That's not necessarily where the plane's going to land.
No.
Far from it.
Those are not what we would call authentic assessments.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even I get with Chef too, his bringing the skills to the people, teaching them side by side, like you said, was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Wow. That leads real easily into Barfield because.
Yeah. Man, let's just take a moment. Barfield, they're all great, but I could have hung out and listened to his stories forever. His laugh just crushed me. I just was like, please just laugh all the time. It's so contagious.
Yeah. And of course I connected to him through, and you do too, through athletics and coaching and
right
there. Again, though, there's the side by side, shoulder to shoulder work being done in the arena of athletics. Yeah, we get that, but it's still just such powerful attaching work when you're a teammate and in really difficult circumstances in really inner city New York. And you're talking about kids who come from all sorts of difficult backgrounds and his coaching style. I mean, it just his, you know, tough love, but I don't know if tough love would be the right word. I think it's just love. And yet under very tough circumstances.
Well, it was attuned and attentive love, right? Oh. It was giving and receiving, all of that.
Yeah. In every one of these cases, none of these voices of all the four voices we had, none of them are acting like they're fixers. They're trying to become part of their community. And I love what you said earlier just about, well, and I've been talking about it. We have talked about it in other episodes, building an ecosystem where everybody finds a place. Everybody, it's so easy to think about that in a sports team, where a coach recognizes what everybody can deliver and then opens the door for them to do it. But it's also true in every other endeavor. Finding the kid.
And finding the teacher.
Yeah.
Because if you're giving agency to the students, you are therefore having to give agency first to the teacher, and then the teachers are able to find themselves.
Same in our work with parents, right? If we care for the parents, we touch the kids. We care for the staff, we touch the kids. I think you're really good at emphasizing that, and I feel it as well, that's really where our good work starts.
Yeah, with the adults. I will say, I also found it really ironic, and you know me and my love of lens and language, right? We can't shift the system until we speak the same language. I did find it ironic for Barfield in particular that this whole system, right, the whole school itself was built on relationships, built on sports. They had their, you know, their core values, and all of them were top notch. And yet it wasn't until they learned the neuroscience behind it, that they had these kind of aha moments of the articulation of the why. And that was just really cool, of that power of, they were already doing all of it. But they had the capacity to articulate and give that to the teachers for why are we successful? What does that look like? So I loved that part of it. They didn't have to shift too much. They could just continue to understand at a deeper level the roots that lead to the growth.
Right. And there you go. That was lens and language, a new lens to look through, even though they were looking at good things they've already done, but they could recognize them. And starting to speak a little different language. And a lot of times it's the language of empathy and the language of understanding and the language of grace in so many ways when you look at the neuroscience behind behavior.
Absolutely. I have to take a drink. Hold on.
Yeah. Go right ahead. I might do the same.
Let's get those good gulping sounds. Okay, before we jump to our last episode, the other thing that really connected with me about Barfield was the intentional focus on creating supports around the kids and then how that manifested for the teachers in the building.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, to say that they had layers upon layers upon layers of rich relational connections would be an understatement. And they were able to translate that to the best of their ability to the adults, which again, I think having that parallel train track, systemic for the adults and systemic for the kids, really leads to an extremely rich educational environment. There's modeling, there's mirroring, there's all this stuff happening. And I'll never forget, right? He told that story of he was having a pretty crappy day. All right. He might have been showing on his face and his body. And a student came up to him, Barfield, you all right? Right. Like yeah. Intrinsically connected with the principal of the whole school. So I thought that was really cool how he highlighted that.
That whole concept strikes me in the heart, how beautiful that is, how full circle that is. And I've experienced it, you know, where kids recognize and when other staff members recognize. And we've often talked about staff members never show up in the principal's office to see how she is or how he is. Those are the parts of community. When you create the right ecosystem, everybody feels empowered to give that handout, reach those hands out to others in that ecosystem. That is an amazing transformation. That's transformational. Where school has been so transactional in the past, which keeps power in power and actually isolates people in power. We're talking about a whole different system that is not transactional, but is transformational. And that's a big, big difference. And that's what I get from these people. They're looking to transform the places where they work. They're not just looking to, again, it's not a handout, it's hands out. It's a beautiful exchange that story typified it the best.
Grainer with the truth bomb. Everyone, yeah, watch out. Here we go.
And certainly that, I didn't invent that. I'm just sharing what I think I've learned, but I love those two words together. And you and I grew up in a pretty transactional system, and we managed it because we had some advantages to do it.
100%.
But so many people, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, and so let's jump into Monica's, which was the last one, because that really struck me, right? Of she came from the world of school psychology, and lo and behold, her story that she shared with us was that some of her children then needed some support in the special education realm. And just that quick reminder for her of how, well, I guess that quick reminder of the impact of showing up and being in the environment when it feels so transactional, like how that impacts the parents, how that impacts the kids. And she learned that firsthand, even though she had been doing it for years.
Always different when it's your child.
Oh my gosh. Amen. And she didn't go into it. She just, you know, learning, she just shared. You know,
basic the idea. They had certain learning disabilities that were identified. And she became not just a teacher, but an advocate. And so she brought a balance that very few people can bring.
100%. And she brought that, which we spent some time processing and reflecting on, but her experience as a superintendent, which I could have spent honestly the whole episode just talking about that role. And maybe we should put that on our checklist of getting a superintendent just to have that full conversation, because, you know, what I highlighted for her is I have high expectations for our leaders and I wanted to know what it was like. And she, well, I love that she acknowledged it's hard, it's political, and you have to go slow to make big changes at times, which that's hard for me.
It's really hard for everyone. And yet, haven't we learned that over these 10 years we've known each other, that the only lasting change is slow? I don't know of a school that we've worked with, talked to, learned from that ever made a quick turnaround. I don't think it exists. Partially because the brain doesn't like to change. So that we know that that's the most stubborn organ in your body, doesn't want to change, and it will never change quickly. It takes a lot of experiences and different filters. And that's what I love about the neuroscience background that we're fortunate to know. It's a slow process. And unless I have always admired your work with systems because you've always been honest with it. It's a slow process. Let's talk in 5 years and then pat ourselves in the back. But not, you know, we got a lot of work to do over time.
It also has to be intentional. And, you know, Monica talked about that intentionality when we think about accommodations for students that might qualify for specific learning disabilities, or, you know, I think she actually even ended the episode of the importance of being intentional about inclusion. She's a massive advocate for inclusion for all students, but there still has to be intentionality behind why we're doing what we're doing. And so I appreciated that she highlighted that.
Yeah. The other thing, you know, you talked earlier about language. And I thought that was something I appreciated from her. She opened up my eyes and my mind a little bit to the language around learning disabilities and how that needs to be clarified. And so lens and language, again, come into play. We need to see this and speak this in a different way.
Yeah, it was good to talk to her, especially because I'm still working in schools, but my focus right now is to get my clinical psychology license. And so that means I'm doing a little bit more on the outside of the educational system. And it's been challenging, Grainer, of qualifying a student, you know, for, let's just say, a specific learning disability in reading or written expression.
Yeah.
But knowing that they might not qualify in school because, for all sakes and purposes, their grades are not the lowest of the lows, that they're compensating in ways because they're smart kids. And so it's been very interesting kind of walking that line and balancing that.
You always have to fight the sorting system. Which is sadly what's, you know, schools were sort of designed to be. And that's one of those things we're trying to, you know, slowly but surely change. Seeing the value of each individual kid, as we heard in every one of these episodes, they see the value of each individual, and schools need to accommodate that instead of the kind of broad brush, teach them, test them, send them home. I think we're getting beyond that. Oh, this isn't good.
This is the first time here. Who is it?
It's a guy named Spam.
Spam, get out of here.
Go away, Spam. We don't want you on the podcast.
Bye, Spam. All right. Anything else that we want to wrap up with Monica? It was, she's so funny at the end of it. She goes, well, you're right. That time went quick and I didn't get to half the things that I wanted to say. I'm like, listen. Welcome to our life. This is how it is every episode.
Yeah. And she was so delightfully nervous for someone who's as wonderful, you know, the wonderful professional she is. She was so authentic. I got a kick out of that.
That's like, you're so smart. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When we had Chef 2 on, not that our other ones, but I was totally starstruck. I was like, oh my God, this is happening. And we've got some other big interviews coming up. So I always say it, but
drop some names. Come on.
No. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make them wait. But I always say, I'm grateful that you are crazy enough to do this. It's fun. Always having fun.
Don't fire me.
Okay. I'll keep you posted.
I'm here for the long haul, and the pay is unbelievable.
Isn't it? It's really what keeps me going. These late nights of editing and the pay. Though our internship is phenomenal. It's helped so much. So to all of our intern students listening, you have been our saving grace this season. So thank you.
I'm going to applaud them from St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm going to clap for all of them.
I love it. All right, Greener. Thanks for reflecting. Thanks for doing the work.
Yeah. Well, I'm loving it. Let's just keep the plane flying, because you always say we don't know where the plane's going to land. So I'm not even worried about it.
Okay. At least one of us thought. All right. I love you. It was good to see you.
Yeah. Good to see you. All right.
Dough, you won't see me no more.
I've been hungry all my life. Yeah.
Okay.
Starved to the bone.
Running up, getting the stove. I gotta get this dough. Police kicking in my dough. You won't see me no more. They was teaching that as a kid. As a threat, just because of my skin. Always miss my dad, he was locked in the pen. When I walk in the building, they don't wanna be friends, yeah. It ain't unjust, you know, it's just the way we coming up. As a black man, yeah, I gotta keep a gun tucked. Strictly, I gotta keep my family safe. Metaphorically, I'm praying for another day. Yeah, you fearing me, the cops is about to let it spray. The penitentiary is just another way we slave. I ain't your enemy, I'm finding ways to get paid. I let the feelings be storms of rage. Running up, I gotta get this dough. Police kicking in my dough. You won't see me no more. You won't see me no more. It's the individual, labeled as a criminal. Do what it takes to get the decimals. Keep it minimal, subliminal. Catch me schooling on the principle. Look at my chain and you see minerals. Federals is always headed for my home. And wanna lock me up, shut me up for speaking the truth. Teaching youth to see the clues in the deep and the blue. You gotta be a shark in this game, no matter how hard it rains. Cause one day, start to spray. Pray and make it to the end of the day. I ain't got no time to worry about some grades, gotta get paid. I want my family chilling in the shade. Even if it means for me to go and grab this AK. But they label me a crook, cause I got the system shook. Walking in, homie, they look at that insane environment. And then they have the nerves to call you violent, to keep you silenced. They're shooting while they driving. Mama's crying, borders flying, everybody wild. I just wonder when my time is coming. Because they're gunning, y'all get stuck and busting. Then they gonna take the hundreds. They create a community, make it difficult for annuity, which then at least the people shooting beams, cruising streets and doing things you wouldn't normally do. Damn, this gotta survive and children gotta eat. So release the crime in order to get the green. Sent with me, I gotta protect my peeps. The young ones rolling with me. We too young, I ask God, is this how it's supposed to be? Have you chosen me to go and free? Youngest trapped in this game, born in a life of pain. Have no choice to join a gang and busting things. Ain't no discussing things, it's disgusting. Man, a tuck and then they go and bust your brain. But you ain't the one to blame. You were coming up, then bang. Had to become an adult at a young age. Or was I meant to go and rob this bank? F what the people think, I'm just trying to get away into a better living. It makes me livid. The rich is putting money in their business and making money off the in prison. Spending millions on military artillery. Investing in penitentiaries is very scary, but can't give food and clothes to the kiddies. Homeless in every city, I see them walking up and down the block of themselves, asking God to make it stop. But only goes away when they smoke that rock. It was the richest fault, the rich versus poor war that started it all. It was the war that I lost. It was the war, like I'm an auntie shooting dope up in the local party. Young men without a poppy. Mommy, you could call me whatever you want, but you can't call me wrong, saying I ain't sorry. I'ma say F the system, even when they got me. I wear my posse, ain't no stopping. What's bound to happen? It's very tragic. I'm outside and I'm waiting for the transit, wondering if I see my Thea.
I'm hungry all my life.
see her chugging on a liter. I hear my abuelita crying, praying, asking God to bring back a mi Hamida. This is mi vida, wishing that I was in your sneakers. So I go and grab this heater until you're beating. I'm with my clique, y'all gon' feel my pain when I read off this page. Cage. Y'all gon' know my name, it's Garcia. Get it right and end up with a broken femur. Watch your demeanor, cause homie, let me tell ya, I got demons and they reach for freedom, but I can't unleash them.